everybody. Welcome back to the Great and Terrible AHS. We're here to talk about room service, as in the episode titled Room Service in the hotel, because it's a hotel. Look, we got a little sidetracked in the serial killer, like, dinner party or whatever, but, like, this, the hotel is, like, the theme. I'm joined once again by Miss Shadow Lovely and Slow Beef. Hey, gang, what's good?
Yo.
Hello. We're in the hotel, motel, Holiday Inn, just like Pitbull said or whatever in that song Room Service.
God, I wish there was a Holiday Inn anywhere nearby, because so many of these people would be better served by a Holiday Inn than showing up at this place, which, oh man, they introduce some characters that you're just like, okay, I already want you to kill him. You don't need to make him more annoying. And then they make him more annoying like six times. I'm very excited to introduce you to them. But this one starts up with detective wife, Alex, who is freshly turned into vampire mode by Lady Gaga last episode. And she's taking her temperature and it's really low, like it was when she took her son's temperature and it was really low.
They literally also, they did this only for our benefit, because like, why would she be like, I don't know. I know I'm craving blood real bad, but I'm not sure I'm a vampire yet. Like, it's literally just to remind us, like, oh, by the way, in case you forgot, she sucked on Lady Gaga's titty and now she's a vampire.
Right.
Yeah, and as noted, she's splashing her face in a hospital sink, to which you might say, wait, she works in a hospital? Apparently she does house calls and also works at a hospital, which, hey, if there's one thing I know about every doctor, surgeon, physician, nurse, etc. that's worked at a hospital, it's that they're always fucking needed at the hospital and they have no free time outside of the hospital. Like, they are overworked to a degree where the idea of them having a side gig is other than like, I have an adrenaline seeking hobby because I'm an ER doctor and I need to make my life more dangerous. You know, like outside of that, like having two jobs when you're like some kind of, yeah, like what is she even doing in this hospital? Because it seems like she's like a full on doctor.
Yeah. So right? I literally sat with this paused on my TV, like trying to figure out, I'm like, did they ever mention her working in the hospital? And the answer is no. The only time we see her in a hospital is when she's having a flashback of when she had her son. So what I think is happening here, what they want us to glean, is that she is specifically at the hospital to treat the anti-vax kid who she advised to go to the hospital, which I don't think that's how it works. I don't think you just get to show up at a hospital you don't work at and be like, hey, this one is mine. I'm going to treat this one.
If they have questions or need clarification on like the patient's chart, they'll use the phone.
Yeah.
that's what the phone is for. Yeah.
But on the other hand, she does know that there is a room with blood in it. I don't know if the implication is she smelled it or what.
This is the whole reason they need her in the hospital, even though it does not make sense that she's there, you know?
Yeah.
Or like, it's not unheard of for your GP to like visit you or whatever, just to like, get called for, you know, hey, we have some questions or whatever, right? But it's totally weird for like them to like do hospital work, which is what happened, and especially get access to the hospital that they probably wouldn't have, save, you know, being a doctor there at the hospital, but whatever, I guess.
Yeah, man, they don't usually do special guests in the OR. Yeah.
Cameos?
You don't get like featuring like John Lennon of the Beatles showing up and like doing a little number. Like, nah, usually it's just the one.
Hospitals would be cooler if that is what they did, though. To be fair, that would be way cooler at a hospital.
Yeah. They're like checking my balls to make sure I don't have the hernia, and then Hugh Laurie walks in, and I'm just like, yo. So the reason we're here is because, yeah, she's helping with the anti-vax kids treatment, or the anti-vax mom's kids treatment. The kid's pneumonia is turning into a staph infection, which I think they end up saying he has measles, is like really bizarre. But also this hospital is so fucking funny. This is like the Joker's hospital, because this kid is like a little sick in an eminently treatable way. Like, he's not a baby. He's like a fourth or fifth grader, maybe even like a sixth grader, right? Like, he's got an immune system. It's there. He can pull through this. And instead they're like, hey, you need to sign a DNR for like a 12-year-old? Fucking crazy. A do not resuscitate order on a 12-year-old?
Yeah, I'm like, this is a terrible thing to tell the anti-vax mom, because you're cementing in her mind that she made the right decision by not letting modern medicine treat her child. Because what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, wow. Me showing up with like a cold and then being like, send him to the glue factory.
put him in the child vulture. It's GG. This is the same hospital that just pushed the guy who was like dying of a drug overdose / withdrawals around in a gurney for like 15 minutes until he died, instead of administering any kind of drug to help him. So like, it's not that surprising.
And yeah, so then Alex shows up to this room and is like basically informed, yeah, the kid's situation's getting worse. And she goes, I won't give up, which you don't work here. So what are you talking about? And then, yeah, as she's like hugging the mom and being like, and we'll do what we can, they have her be like, that neck's pretty juicy. I could have a little bit of that. Oh, I think I'd enjoy that blood. And then she immediately displays why she does not work here, because Alex somehow breaks into the blood storage room and is just slurping down packs like Capri Suns.
Is that a real thing, or is that just like a movie and TV thing of like hospitals having a blood room? Because it's in a lot of like media.
I think they do have blood. I don't know if it like looks just like that, but like I think they have
it. Looks like the... Yeah, I don't think it looks like the gun racks in the Matrix, but...
Right, like just with blood, right, but...
Yeah, I do think they have, like, yeah, like a storage room, because, you know, you need, like, transfusion stuff on hand. Like, I bet, especially for, like, a big hospital, like, if you went to, like, the L.A. main hospital or Chicago main hospital or something, yeah, they'd probably have a room full of transfusion materials and stuff like that. Yeah,
it's
which...
like the funny thing about this show is it's a good bet they got it wrong. Like, no matter what it is, like, if you're not totally sure, it's like, it's a safe bet to be like, it's not that. You know what I mean? It's like calling someone Mike. You have a 1 in 3 shot of being correct. You know what I mean? Like, it's,
yeah. But... yeah, Mike, John, Josh. Oh, weird. I got half the room to respond.
Yeah. Like, Mike, John, Josh, and American Horror Story got it wrong. Like, yep, you actually hit all four on that one, you know? Like, yeah.
So the thing is, apparently Lady Gaga just did not have the don't just turn whoever into a vampire discussion with Alex, which again seems like the most important discussion, like bar none, right?
Yeah, it's right.
Like, don't just turn whoever into a vampire. Like, there's serious you know what? At least wait a couple months and like see how you feel about it before you just start like slinging it around.
You know what? Even if you don't understand why or believe me, I have actually killed other vampires over this, so absolutely do not do that.
Yeah. Like, at the very least, yeah, have Lady Gaga just be like, don't do it or I'll fucking kill you. And then have her have this, like, thing of conflict between, oh, as a doctor, I know this could save someone, theoretically, but also then Lady Gaga will fucking kill me. And then there's, like, an interesting point, a little push-pull, but instead, no, she just walks up to the kid, tells everyone else, hey, I know I don't work here and I'm not related to this kid, but can you all fuck off? And they're like, yeah, all right. And so she just takes, like, she draws her own blood and just shoves it in the kid's like saline drip, which I feel like is not the best way to do this, but it looks cool for the camera. So like, you know, fair play. It looks neat. You see the blood kind of like poof into the water. It looks all right. I guess then the kid dies.
Well, like all his like things go off better. Too. Right, his monitor and everything, but nobody comes. You know what I mean? It's just like, yeah, whatever. Like, and then all of a sudden he's away. Yeah, he like comes back up, and that's our little jump scare for the episode, which is like, ah, like the kid's like, no, I'm back. You know, but it's not scary because we all knew it was gonna happen.
They are gonna make some very, very bizarre and strange implications with the practical application of this child who had measles becoming infected with the vampire virus and then transmitting that to new people, making vampire measles, I guess. We'll get there, but like very strange implications. Cause like
you're right. It took me like a solid couple minutes to understand what was I'm like, so did none of them get vaccinated, or is this like a different thing?
Well, they didn't get vaccinated against vampire measles. How could they? Don't be foolish, Ty Tuesday.
Yeah, you're right. I'm dumb.
Yeah. I just think it's funny that Alex, like, who literally, we literally know this is the next day because the last episode was Devil's Night, and later on we find out today is Halloween. So we know this is, like, less than 24 hours out.
Also, the scene before her turning this kid is her, like, crumpled on the floor in the blood room being like, yum, yum, gotta get my Capri Sun. And she's like, damn, this kind of sucks. This is, like, a real issue to live with. Well, anyway, good luck, kid.
Yeah, there's no medicine we could try to treat this child with. He's gonna die. There's absolutely no way this kid recovers because he wasn't vaccinated or whatever. But like the idea,
the list of diseases and human conditions with like a real 100% mortality rate is like so low.
If only we had modern medicine or something. That's crazy. Anyway, you want this blood? I just think it's really funny that a doctor who like was turned into a vampire less than 24 hours ago and didn't even know vampires were real until 24 hours ago, became a vampire, and like the first patient she sees is like being told that he allegedly is gonna die, like in hypotheticals, and is like, me, the brain genius doctor, I'm gonna turn this kid into a vampire. Like, there's no other recourse she even considers. She's like, well, I'm a vampire doctor now. That's different than being a regular vampire. Clearly, the only thing I'm allowed to do anymore is to make other vampires. I'm not allowed to do human medicine anymore. How could I? Obviously.
Like Sesame Street level vampires. Like, just like, oh, it's me, Dr. Vampire. The cure is vampire again.
two vampire. Ugh. And then they do the baby wakes up from being asleep jump scare for a second time in this season, and we're only on episode 5, which is like, bro, can you stop? Like, and remember how literally the other okay, so here's something that I'm going to be complaining about for the rest of this episode, because it happens to several characters, which is the fact that Tristan got turned. And immediately what happened to Tristan was that Tristan's meth face went away immediately, and his big ass cut on his face that he got maybe an hour prior immediately Wolverine healed. Everybody else who gets turned is like, oh no, I'm so sick. I still have the measles. Oh no, I still have all the heroin in my body from when I did heroin. And I'm like, okay, well, so like, why do some people have the bad turn? The fucking like Winter Soldier super serum 24 hours where they turn into a werewolf.
I have an explanation for this, actually, which is I'm going to refer to you to earlier in this podcast with the answer is Mike, John, Josh, and American Horror Story got it wrong.
Yeah. It's not even that they got it wrong. It's that, like, it's not consistent with, like, the one other guy we saw do it.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what Beef is saying is, yeah, they got it right like every time except Tristan, where they just, they
forgot. They're like, he does actually have superpowers that are not related to him being a vampire.
Yeah. Yeah. A wizard did it.
Actually, it was just, he had injected a bunch of like extra blood before he got turned, so it just like evened out.
He's always doing this. This is one thing we know about Tristan.
Raising my blood pressure by forcing more blood into my body.
Oh my god. Yeah. I can't believe they did the. But he still has the measles, is what I'm saying. Like, the kid dies because I guess that's what it does. It kills you. But we've seen it be given to two dead people now, and it brought them back from being dead. So it's very confusing what the, like, what the specifics of how and when you're supposed to do the vampire turning works here. He dies, like, clinically. Why did she shouldn't have done this. He has a DNR. Isn't that breaking some kind of an oath? Anyway, sorry, I just thought about that.
I think there's, yeah.
I'm like, if you sign a DNR, I don't think you're not supposed to do anything like this. I don't think it specifically covers the vampire thing, but you think it would fall under that umbrella. Because, you know, like, a DNR is like, hey, don't do anything that would make my life worse if I survive this. Like, don't break all my ribs if I'm just going to be a vegetable when I wake up. I guess I would put turn me into a vampire under that umbrella, frankly, if it was me. Don't make me undead.
At this point, I think, like, I kind of want to put down, like, DNR unless.
DNR asterisk.
Yeah, if you can make me, like, a cool vampire, all right, bring me back. All right, sick. I'll give it a go. I'll give it a whirl.
You would be brought back as a shitty vampire, which I feel like is worse than being brought back not at all. I feel like coming back and finding out that you're a shitty vampire, even worse than not being brought back.
The only thing about this shitty vampire is they are missing one, like, terrible downside, which is, like, you could just die whenever.
Right?
Like, you could just be like, I'm out. Like, you don't have the curse of immortality where it's like, everything else is gone. Every lover I've had has passed, and I've had and lost countless families. Oh, well. Like, this one's just, like, bored. Going to die now. Throwing myself in a lake.
Take two of dying. Bye. What happens if, okay, follow-up question. Since we know that the vampire virus can revive people from the dead, if one of the vampires gets killed and you give them some of your blood as a vampire, do they just come back? Can you just continue the revive cycle?
I think not.
Do you have evidence?
I think it's just like you need to be, like, hard killed, and then it's permanent. So, like, if you get shot in the head, it doesn't matter how much vampire virus you got in you. It's over. You're donezo.
Well, because the thing is, like, if you take the I can't think of Angela Bassett's character's name.
Ramona.
Ramona, and she was into that guy that she turned into a vampire, and Lady Gaga kills that vampire. Ramona has no option to bring that person back, that vampire back, right? Like, there's no, like, she doesn't try, and there's no way. So either she can and she doesn't know, which, I don't know, like, that kind of, that feels wrong to me. You know, I feel like that there must be some kind of stakes here that you can kill a vampire, period, permanently, right? Without, like, a wooden stake or anything in this world.
Yeah, and when she explains it to Tristan, she's just like, yeah, you can still get shot in the head, and then you, like, die.
Okay, right, so follow-up question. Because we still aren't sure about how, like, the ghost rules work, because, like, Sally died and immediately became a ghost at the Hotel Cortez, but both Iris and Donovan died for a pretty, like, decent amount of time and then were brought back by vampire blood, and they didn't immediately become a ghost. If you die as a vampire at the Hotel Cortez,
okay,
do you become a ghost? No. Is this now a third evolution? Don't. Damn.
Nah.
Because that would suck. Actually. That would suck, because then you'd be like, oh, thank God I'm not immortal. I can just kill myself and I don't have to live forever. And then you kill yourself at the Hotel Cortez and you're like, God fucking damn it. Like, this is the worst. This is the worst possible outcome. Now I'm a ghost here and I can't move on.
Yeah, a trap card, like, 275 years in the making. Absolutely the thanks, biggest Lady rake Gaga. You've ever stepped on.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, and it's only going to get worse. The like the rules of becoming a vampire or being a vampire are only going to get so much more confusing through this episode alone. But that's the opening sequence is the baby wakes up. I say baby. He's like 12. The 12-year-old wakes up and he still has measles. All of that was to say he still has measles when he wakes up. So like
he just feels better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Did like the fluid leave his lungs? Because he had pneumonia. So like.
Yeah.
Or does he just not breathe anymore? And so it's cool. So it's like, oh, you're fine, actually. Like. But then they wouldn't be killable. If they didn't need to breathe, they wouldn't be killable. Anyway.
I think you're putting more thought than they did into it.
Oh, I'm absolutely putting more thought than they did.
Yeah. So the next scene is we're back at Ramona's mansion. Because remember, Donovan had said, like, I'll figure something out. We'll find a way to get in there again. And brings Iris... and it's just kind of like, hey, Iris is dying and bad. I guess, yeah, she's still full of heroin and like maybe has the needs blood or something. I don't understand it. And yeah, just offers up, says, hey, use my mom to get back at Lady Gaga, I guess. And then that happens. It's really confusing because it's just like she's having vampire withdrawals or heroin withdrawals or both. It's clearly
she's
the
very
vampire
wet.
Withdrawals because later on she'll drink blood and just be good. Yeah, like she's got like the sweat and the shakes and it doesn't like Donovan even tries to cover it as being like delirium tremens or, you know, the DTs or whatever.
Right.
And she's just like, that's not DTs. I know what that is. And it's like, wait, so it is consistent. So this happens to every vampire when they turn. Why didn't it happen to any of you? What do you mean?
Yeah. And like, they go out of their way to make Kathy Bates look very pathetic and wet, like a cat out in the rain in this scene. Like, she's like shaking and she's very damp and she's like, oh no, I'm so not full of blood or something. And is just kind of like curled up in a little ball on a lounge chair in Ramona's like mansion as they're talking. And then Donovan's like, hey, don't we both hate our shared bitch ex-wife who broke up with both of us? We should get revenge on her. And then there's like a lot of very bizarre sexual tension between Donovan and Ramona. All while Iris is kind of trembling like a chihuahua in the background.
This scene accomplishes nothing. Like, the only plot that occurs is Iris is now working for Ramona. That's it. That's all you really needed. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all it does. Iris, it's, like, really bad.
Iris says something to the effect of, like, oh, but she's gonna know that I'm a vampire, and she's gonna get mad at me. And both of them are like, no, she's fucking not. No, she's fucking not. And I'm like,
nerd.
Source, I made it up, I guess. Like, because she does.
The problem is she should be right, you know, because they're trying to play off like Lady Gaga, like she's some kind of like Dracula, you know, person. But she's just a lady, right? Who drinks blood.
Also,
that's kind of it.
Yeah, their reasoning is like, oh, she never even pays attention to you. She wouldn't notice you no matter what. So like, whatever, who cares? Which like would be an interesting character trait, right? Like try and play her up as like having this air of nobility to the point that there is like a blind spot where she doesn't notice the people around her. The problem is she does.
Yeah,
she
right?
does notice. Like, so it doesn't, like, they try and build up this character trait and then they just like forget that it was a thing. Yeah. So that's all that happens there. Then back at the hospital, the kid is up and bouncing around and running around. They try and do like a cheap little intro thing of Alex going into the room and being like, oh no, the kid's not there. And it's like, yeah, because he's better, because you turned him into a vamp.
Yeah,
like,
right?
What the fuck were we supposed to think? Like, what do you mean? Like, oh no, he turned into a puff of smoke and went through the vents like Alucard. Like, no.
Pass. Oh no. Like,
well, I thought they were going to take the really cheap route and be like, oh, she looked away for 2 seconds and he ate the whole hospital or something, but they're like, no, he's just getting Cheetos from the vending machine, I guess.
Or Or she looked away for 2 seconds, and then Lady Gaga stole the kid. Because yeah, yoink. Just like, see, you neglectful. I saved him.
Yoink, free baby.
So, yeah, this is just the kid's feeling better, and he's going to be out and about and released anytime soon. So back at the hotel, Iris walks back in and is still having the vampire shakes. And as Iris is like kind of mentioning, she, you know, just wants to get back. Liz Taylor's like, hey, you look like shit. You should have one of these, and pours her what is clearly just like a glass of blood, like blatantly. So it's not even a little obvious. Like, not, unless he was pouring her like a glass of like grenadine syrup, nothing else is that viscosity. Yum. Or color.
That fixes my shake. Yeah. Sweats is when someone just gives me straight grenadine. Just straight grenadine syrup. <Yeah. laughs>
I just needed like 100 grams of sugar right now. Like, so bad.
They don't, a little hypoglycemic. Tiny bit.
They don't want you to know that, but hair of the dog is actually just straight up grenadine syrup. That's what fixes you. God.
Imagining someone running like a half marathon and just drinking an entire bottle of grenadine syrup.
One of the little glass bottles. The little fancy glass bottles. Yeah. Just chugging it really slow because the top of the bottle's really tiny.
God, like all the like runner's gels they make now where it's like super dense calories, but it's just grenadine flavored.
Children yearn for the grenadine brick to solve all of their ailments.
I need my grenadine gel, bro.
Slice me off some grenadine.
Iris drinks the blood and immediately starts feeling better. And then Liz Taylor just really causes more problems with the whole vampire thing because she goes, yeah, you know, so that'll hold you over for a couple hours, but then you're going to need some fresh blood. By the way, this was the really good stuff from the supply, but it's also not the good stuff because you need fresh stuff. But also this is the choice stuff, which it's like, huh? What do you mean?
Yeah, simultaneously insisting that, yeah, oh yeah, if you drink like blood that we have stored up, it'll fix you. But also, you're going to need not stuff we've stored up for some undisclosed reason. Also, you're going to want it again in a few hours. I'm like, fucking yeah, dude, that's how eating works. Like, you eat, and then a few hours later, you have to do it again. That's how just eating works. That's not a vampire problem. That's just like how eating is. That's just how eating things is. So, like, why can't she just have a blood martini every 4 hours or so and be fine?
Because, like, Iris just doesn't understand things. Like, they really had to, like, break it down, you know, for her. But
yeah, it's very, very confusing as to, like, because there's so many insistences that, like, oh, if you're a vampire, you can't drink from people that are dead. You can't store blood and drink it. It's got to be coming from, like, a person who's alive.
The person can't have an STD.
Yeah,
I guess.
Or drugs in their system. And literally every single one of those rules that they have set forth is broken several times per rule by various characters. And it's like, okay, so is that more of like a, well, you can do it, we just wish you wouldn't because it makes us look less cool? Or like, what's the problem here? I truly don't understand. They have created a conflict that has actually caused zero conflicts. Because like, that's the thing in like almost every vampire media, right? If like it's in a modern setting, it's like, oh no, I have to grapple with the moral quandary of that I need blood to survive, but I don't want to kill people. It has to come from a live person. And then you have like Twilight, yeah, where it's like, yeah, most vampires who aren't shitty just kill like deer and stuff, and that's how they just go hunt like animals and drink animal blood, and that's how we circumvent the killing people. It's like not as good. You will like not feel as great, but like it works. And if you have a moral quandary about it, it's a way to not have to deal with that. Whereas this show's like, we want the moral quandary of whether or not a regular person has to grapple with potentially killing another human being to be able to stay alive. But also, we don't want that to limit our characters, because that would take a lot of time for each one of these new vampires to have to go hunt down new people. And that would be all of the runtime. And we have 7 plot lines going right now. So we really gotta just maybe not worry about it when people are like, eh, it's okay to eat a little dead drug addict blood every once in a while.
Also, do you think in this universe, like, if I had a bunch of vampires, like, bearing down on me, ready to go, could I just, like, eat 10 edibles real fast and be like, if you try it, you're going to be out, brother. Like, it's you or one of us is whiting out right now.
You're going to get eliminated from The Bachelor if you eat from me. I'm just saying, you can't do it. Rules lawyering the vampire that's about to eat me, and it's not even, like, a hot vampire. It's, like, one of like the real shit TM, like 28 Days a Night vampires who don't care. And so that's become the conflict. And then like they're talking at the bar, Iris and Liz are talking at the bar, and Iris starts complaining that she got turned into a vampire super old because she's like unfuckable or whatever. And I'm like, I fucking guess, but like also she's like, oh, now I'm stuck in this body forever. And I'm like, you can't be upset about being immortal. You're not immortal. Like, you can't have this character trait on these characters because they're not. Have someone hit you in the head with a hammer really hard if it's that big of a deal. Yeah.
Like a big rock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, actually. Yeah.
You can just GG out of this. Like, it's not like you're cursed with immortality and you have no, like anything you can do about it. You can literally just be like, actually, I was right when I tried to kill myself. I'm going to do it again. And then just go two for two.
Which, hey, Donovan, quick question about your whole thing of how you're mad you were saved and that you rather would have died. So, like...
Just jump off a building, brother. That, do a flip. Like, what? I don't know what you want me to do here. Like, it's not a conflict. They set up so many of the cliche vampire conflicts, but none of them are actual conflicts because they don't apply to these vampires.
Well, but that's, you know what? That's because they're not vampires, right? Like, they're trying that. It's like, at that point, you might as well, like, give them werewolf conflicts. Like, what am I going to do when there's a full moon out?
Moon.
It's like, you know? Yeah. Why not, right? At that point.
And Lady Gaga's like, wait, we don't have, like, a thing with the moon. It's fine. And they're like, no, but I don't
still.
Like it. Yeah.
Yeah, just not for me. I don't enjoy the full moon, is all I'm saying.
Because, like, we will see a lot of vampires, TM, in this episode, just fully out in the sunshine, just like not giving a single flying fuck about the sun. And it's like, well, it's supposed to at least make you feel bad, but like, I feel bad when I go out in the sun. Who gives a shit?
And also, like,
legitimately, I think, like, me waking up in the morning and, like, opening the shade and getting blasted with the Colorado sun, like, deals notably more damage than these vampires take, like, every time. It's they don't even get, like, flashbanged a little bit. They're not like, ah, shit, like, shading their eyes the whole time. Nothing.
It's so funny to me, like, truly, genuinely funny to me that they insist on, like, reminding us, like, all of the things that vampires should have to consider because they're vampires, but then making none of that actually like practically apply to any of the characters. So that just brings our awareness to it of like, oh, well, why did they go outside? The sun's out. Oh, because it doesn't really matter. Oh, well, why are they drinking like bagged blood if they have to have fresh blood? Oh, because it doesn't really matter. Oh, so they're like immortal, right? And like that's going to be a problem because like some of them are really young, some of them are really old. That's going to be like an issue. No, they can just kill themselves or have someone else kill them if it's really that big of a deal. But, so it doesn't really matter.
But also, like, they did this challenge mode on themselves for no reason. Just make them vampires and you could, the rest will like fill in the gaps. Like, they just did this for no reason. It kills me.
I think that's the reason that they, they've made it hard mode, but like also they've like pussied out about it is because like they're like, oh, here's all these conflicts, but we're not actually going to make them an issue in our show. We'll simply be like, it doesn't really matter. That's not a conflict. If it doesn't really matter, it's not a conflict. So you can't cash in conflict points with it.
Yeah, like in particular, like having a like setting Bible or like a bestiary or something along those lines of just like, this is what it means to be this creature. They have this trait, and this trait. And then you like, as Beef said, it just kind of naturally fleshes itself out. You make the situation, you put that character in the situation, and based on their, you know, intrinsic traits, they do a thing naturally in the setting. Like, you don't really have to think that hard about it. This is like they wrote a bunch of people who did a bunch of shit and are now trying to figure out how to make them into vampires.
I was about to say that. Like, it's totally backwards, because usually it's like you start with the vampire thing and you come up with the implication, like, well, if you turn someone who's like, you know, like a child or something, they're stuck in that body. But now they're doing it the opposite. Like, Iris is stuck in that body. Why? She's not a vampire. And you're like, oh yeah, it doesn't work the other way. But they're still trying it.
Okay, I have a tinfoil hat theory, and I'm going to bounce it off you guys and see how you feel. Now, granted, I am going to give some, like, I'm going to lay some groundwork by saying there is a later season of American Horror Story called Double Feature, in which it is literally two mini seasons that are unrelated to each other. In one season. It's very bizarre that they did it, but it's two completely unrelated stories in one season, and they call it Double Feature, but it's basically just two shorter seasons in one season for whatever fucking reason. My theory is that this was originally two different seasons, but neither one of them had enough, like, meat and potatoes. I think the hotel with the ghosts was one that was pitched, the Hotel California thing. But we already have Murder House, so that doesn't really hold a lot of water. And then also, I think they really wanted, like, a disease/anti-vax/vaccination themed one, like hospital or doctor or medicine or something, American Horror Story medicine or something.
Yeah. Hospital, maybe.
That also kind of didn't hold enough water, but they really wanted to do it.
Blood bank.
So they were like,
close to asylum, yeah.
They were like, what if we just put those two things together and we'll have vampires and ghosts at the Hotel California?
So I really like that. And the main reason I think I really, really like that is because I think without John, the detective man, the story can just function on both halves, no problem. And so when you put John in, it makes sense that he's just there to be like a tenuous link between the two halves, right? Because like Alex hates John and Scarlett and refuses to interact with either. So like they essentially are in a different book, right? Like they're just in a different script entirely. On the hotel side, no one really interacts with the ghosts and stuff outside of John, and then Tristan has walked in and been like, oh, you're cool, see ya. And that's about it.
Also, to your point, like, thinking about it, like, from that perspective, Alex as a character could literally just be rewritten to be like a woman who got pregnant off a one night stand and ended up having a kid by herself, and she loves that kid like more than anything in the world, and then he ended up going missing. Like, you literally could write John and Scarlett completely out of Alex's part of the story, and her character would not change one single iota. She's just the same character. She just has less paperwork to do.
And you know what else? You could write Scarlett out of the story totally also,
right? Yeah, just in general, you could just write Scarlett out of the story.
she's not, like, so far it's been like, hey, I saw the other kid, the more plot important kid at one point. Well, bye.
She's not even in this episode. We'll see both of her parents, and we will not see her one time. Who knows where she's at right now? I guess riding the bus to and fro the hotel. But the bar scene culminates with like Liz Taylor being like, "Sorry, you think you're not super fuckable, but I think you should try wearing eyeshadow. It always works for me." Which I have good news, everybody. We might not get to it today, but we do get Liz Taylor backstory, which is very, very good. Me on my hands and knees, finally. We do have the most insane sequence coming up now.
Yeah, this next sequence is crazy, and the fact that it just happens in the middle, like, this has been a collection of, I would say, like, small scale stories, right? Like, these are tales that involve a handful of people. It's a close mystery between a small group, right? There's John the killer, the hotel staff, Lady Gaga, and then now Will Drake and the models and whatnot. But, you know, it's a room full of people at most in the entire story. It's a very tightly woven mystery. Well, it's time to have a national incident, boyos. It's time to have everything get fucking tossed in the shit higgledy-piggledy, because it turns out the measles vampire kid, in fact, is a vampire measles kid, which is, like, no good. Also, I think he's a spreader. Like, derogatory.
They also will paint this child is being like another mastermind, and I'm like, they're really leaning into that, like, oh, vampires are just really charismatic. I'm like, Donovan's a pathetic cringe fail man. He's not charismatic at all. What are you talking about? Like, they really want you to think this kid's smart.
And if this had been like a solo season of just this side, they could have had some buildup of like the mom talking to the kid about like, oh, I just think it's important that, you know, you get infected with stuff and your immune system takes over and then you feel better. And then like, that's why this kid is horribly misguided in his actions. But instead, it just seems like, damn, you turned Dennis the Menace into a vampire. You fucked up.
You made the worst child into a vampire. You turned a little psychopath into a vampire. Uh-oh. Turns out you need empathy to be a vampire, or you should at least have it. Otherwise, things are going to go real bad real quick. You know what it kind of is? Is like, I didn't put this in the notes anywhere, but I truly felt throughout this, and it will become very obvious when we say what happens, but like, it really felt like they were like, you know what we haven't ripped off yet? Children of the Corn. I think we could sneak a little bit of Children of the Corn in here. They were vampires, right? I say, scratching my neck awkwardly as I can't remember what the plot of Children of the Corn is.
They were from the Midwest.
So, all based. So true.
We cut to the kitchen of the kid's home, and both of the parents are dead and they're bled out on the floor, and we got the kid in a pirate outfit, which is very funny because they have not pointed out that it is Halloween yet. So we just see fucking Yarhar Fiddledy wiping his mouth being like, yum, I turned into a vampire pirate.
I truly thought it was going to be like him being like, I'm a vampire. You can't tell me I can't dress like a pirate. And then they're like, oh, by the way, it's Halloween. I'm like, oh, well, okay, I guess.
So he just gets on the school bus, like, which, all right, we gotta talk about, like, if this kid was, like, sick, I have freedom, I'm 12 years old, I don't have parents anymore. You know, I probably should still go to school.
I don't want to have, like, an absence on my record or anything.
Well, yeah, but where else is he going to find, like, the kids aren't just going to come to his house, you know? Oh, wait a minute. The one day where actually, like, he could make vampires without going to school, but, you know.
He really loves academia. He really, really loves academia. That's what they don't tell you about this kid, which, it's later in the notes, but I'd like to ask it now. We kind of got an answer earlier, but I'd like the listeners to hear. As a homeschooled person, I don't have this information. They make you get, like, vaccinated to go to school, right? Like, that's usually a requirement.
Yeah.
So, like, this kid wouldn't have been in school then, probably, given that he was not a vaccinated kid.
Correct.
Because I know that you do have to have vaccination records. I just didn't know what they were for.
You can get exceptions for certain things, and, like, after the whole COVID thing, like, people, like, kind of abuse that with, like, oh, I have, like, some kind of, you know what I mean? And then it's, like, whatever. But typically speaking, yeah, like, MMR is absolutely a requirement.
Like in 2015, when this came out, probably most kids were definitely vaccinated.
Definitely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. 100%.
Okay. Like,
vaccination records were, it's one of those things where it was like part of the reason it was so fucking weird when the anti-vax movement and everything like fired up was it was like, we all have like agreed that this was like cool. Like, what the fuck is your problem now? Like, we shook on this. You can't.
Yep. Pretty much. Yeah.
Okay. I was just checking to see if it would make sense that kid would have been in a public school and like.
Nope.
Would have been hanging out. No wonder he got measles. He's going to a school full of people that wouldn't get measles. He's going to be the only one who gets it. They're all going to be like, yum, yum, the one person who isn't vaccinated. Time to give this boy measles.
Come on in. Welcome back to school. Yeah. Now that you've got measles. Yep. But.
So, kid goes back and he's going to school and it's full daytime. He doesn't give a shit. The sun doesn't bother him one bit. I guess Lady Gaga's just like a shit vampire.
She's goth. So she has the goth debuff. Yeah. That's the problem.
What was that one? What's the kid's name? Aiden?
Holden?
Whatever. Holden, yeah, whatever. The little... Look, he's got zero lines and truly doesn't matter more than like...
I'm fussy.
Like, you could replace him with a... You could replace him with, like, a briefcase full of money that smelled like lavender, and the story would function.
Yeah. Or, like, a cat, a dog, a pet of some variety. Yeah. A monkey with a little vest on. Yeah. Like, yeah, he's pretty interchangeable.
A beloved African gray parrot. Yeah. Right. Like anything else? So the kid goes to school, and they like yell at him for having a fake sword and take it away from him. But then he has a little girlfriend who is like, hey, oh, that sucks. And he's like, oh, it's cool. And then he has a boot knife. But like,
you know, the thing kids frequently have, a boot knife.
He has a boot knife, which is like just wild for him to be like, yeah, I figured I should have a boot knife.
It's crazy because like he gets in trouble for having the sword and he's like, aw, shucks. And then his little girlfriend who's dressed as a witch is like, it's okay. They took my wand too. They're really sticklers for the like the weapon thing. And he's like, it's okay. I brought a backup and pulls out his boot knife. I'm like, but that's not part of your costume though. That was in your boot. That was hidden. That's a different situation entirely.
Also, that's a concealed weapon is what that is.
I'm like, that's not quite the same as your plastic sword or her plastic witch wand or whatever.
And, you know, I mean, look, I think they're like 10-ish, these kids, right?
Yeah.
And so the teacher sends like, or they get into a room alone, right? Like an adjunct room to the classroom, like a closet or something, you know? And then they like kiss, which I'm like, I don't know. That's a little young, I think, for that stuff. And weird that the teacher is like, not noticing that anyway, because then he bites her lip and she's like, ow, you bit my lip. It's like, oh, they're really okay, you know. And then it's like, oh yeah, and you know, that's listen, I'll cut myself, I'm bleeding too, now just drink blood, now you're a vampire, you know, that kind of crap happens.
And he goes, now we're even. Yeah, okay, now swap blood with me, which like what a weird way to go about it, as opposed to like the way more normal way like we would do, where we'd go, all right, blood brothers, and then you slash your palm open and they slash their palm open and you shake hands. Like, that's the normal way. Why wouldn't they do that? I'm so confused.
I got another one too. Hey, you're 10 years old. Do you want to be a vampire? Yeah. Like, you know,
honestly, if they really wanted to, like, because they're going to insist this kid is like a mastermind who's trying to Children of the Corn and his, like, I was going to say teammates, his classmates. If you really wanted to do that, it's Halloween. You've given yourself carte blanche to just have, like, a punch bowl that he could just drop his blood into to just trick everybody into becoming a vampire. Because I mean,
considering you can just consume the blood, clearly, because that's how everyone else got it, is from licking titties.
How does
so,
he know
like,
that, actually? Yeah. I'm now having... Because he doesn't know how he got turned into a vampire.
Yeah, somebody else needed like the tutorial from Lady Gaga, but he's just like, oh, I know how this works. No worries, you know?
He just figured it out. He's like, I feel better, so I'm a vampire for sure.
Yeah, it wasn't medicine. She definitely didn't give me medicine. The doctor at the hospital did not give me medicine. I am sure she made me a vampire. That has made me, checks notes, kill my parents the day after I get home. I had literally no hesitation. I have simply decided to kill everyone in my path that's not another child, question mark. The whole like children kissing scene, the only way I cannot feel icked out by it, which I do, there's not a way to not when you watch it. It's a super skin crawly scene. Is like, I imagine the writers like sweating and crying and throwing up, like, but vampires are always sexy. And then they're like, no, American Horror Story staff, they're children. And they're like, yeah, but vampires are always sexy. It's always sexy when you become a vampire. And they're like, we don't have a choice. Vampires are always sexy.
Well, at the very least, they did make sure to get one part of vampires right, which is the first sign of turning into a vampire is you itch a lot.
Yeah.
I guess. So, yeah, the Madeline, the little girl, gets itchy, and they start, like, having measles at, like, incredible speeds.
Right.
Just, like... absolute, like, it's truly overdrive measles, which is, like, so the vampire virus has not been spread very much, it would seem, because it appears to be able to, like, morph other viruses into, is this, like, a Zerg thing? Like, what's going on here? Are we going to make overlords? Like, how, so... everyone in the class is getting turbo measles because he hasn't even turned them yet, I don't think. They just start, like, flailing on the ground having measles, and he's like, hey, you're going to need to drink a bunch of blood, but then you're going to feel so fucking based. And all the kids are like, yeah, all right.
After he stabs his teacher, by the way, the teacher's like, hey, where are Max and Madeline? And every other student's, like, in the back of the room making out for some reason. And the teacher's like, what the? And then goes into the closet, and then she gets stabbed, like, instantaneously. Which is wild. Absolutely wild. Also, I am reiterating that the movie Twilight literally made this a plot point, so there is a non-zero chance that they just straight up stole this from Twilight of, you don't make children vampires, because children vampires, don't give a shit. They don't have world experience.
Right. They don't have fully formed frontal lobes.
They're just going to be impulsive, and all they know is that they have to drink blood, and they're going to do whatever it takes to do that. It's like a baby snake. They don't know how much venom to put out. That's, like, literally the plot of the last two movies and books of Twilight is, the big vampires who make all the rules being like, no, we can't make baby vampires. They last time that happened, like, hundreds of people died. It's not good. And then the main characters being like, but we want to have a baby. And then that's, like, the whole thing. Turns out that the big bad vampires that make all the rules are right, actually. you shouldn't make baby vampires. This happens almost every time. Not in every media where there's vampires, but most of the time, this is what happens.
Right.
So, again, he turns his entire class into vampire, and they are immediately all just like, yeah, all right. Like, they're into it. Like, everybody immediately follows every order he gives them. Like, they wanted to make there be some weird, like, you're a thrall to the person who turns you, I guess. But that's not how it's worked for, like, anyone else. Lady Gaga's just super hot.
Yeah, Lady Gaga has, like, lady hot vibes. So, like, they're like, okay, yeah, whatever. You say you'll kiss me a little bit if I do what you say, like, sure. Like, this kid does not have that.
There's a difference. There's a difference between, like, telekinetic enthrallment and girl hot. And, like, this kid's just like, everybody does exactly what I say. So apparently... what I think it's supposed to be is this child has created super measles that also is vampirism, and it makes you experience the measles until you drink blood, which doesn't make sense because the kid didn't drink blood before he...
this specific vampire virus couldn't get any shittier. Now there's a version of it that gives you the measles.
And so there's some teachers walking around in the hallway, and, like, somehow someone saw, I can't even remember what happens, so, but, like, they, go ahead.
The one kid's convulsing outside the door or whatever, he, like, falls out, and this other teacher runs up and is like, what's wrong? And he's like, I'll take you to the nurse, but where is Mrs. and whatever the teacher's name is? And then he goes in to check, and then that's when they, like, pull him in and kill him.
He survives it, though. He gets turbo stabbed by, like, 50 children and then, like, stumbles to, like, admin office where we somehow in this episode have time to chastise a white teacher for dressing as a Native American, which American Horror Story made this woman do. Literally, not that people don't do this, but American Horror Story literally made up a guy to get mad at in the middle of, like, this school of children dying. I don't know why they did this.
I mean, yeah, it's so weird because, like, it's just, like, an odd scene. Like, it's something that, like, I feel is, like, in, like, one of the, like, D-level Marvel movies, but even they wouldn't really do this because it's, like, the teachers are in this teacher's lounge, and the one is dressed up, like, you know, a Native American, whatever, and then this other woman who has the Hindi, like, third eye, like, the red dot, you know, says to her, like, hey, that's a really culturally insensitive costume. And it's like, well, what? And then she says to the Hindi lady, like, what about what you're wearing? And she's like, I'm Hindi, which is like the laugh track terrible joke and not probably the first day she's worn that, but whatever. And then this third teacher decides to ignore what they're talking about or change the subject because it's awkward and goes, you know what? I love to be scared. And then all of a sudden there's the jump scare behind her of the teacher. So it's like, why did we need the weird tension between the two other teachers there? And then this random, like, lady, like, you know, jump scare set up, but
American Horror Story wanted to take a brief moment to be like, also, I know we're talking about vampires, but just in case you were curious, we think racism is bad. Anyway, back to the dead teacher.
We're on the right side of both vaccination and racism, just for the record, yeah. American Horror Story, you know?
They were like, in case you guys were wondering, this is how we would handle this.
Exactly. <It's...
laughs> And we're like, thank you, American Horror Story. It was really high on my list of questions.
Like, Ryan Murphy flipped a car when he was on coke, and this is his community service. It's like, vaccine's good, racism bad. Does this count, Your Honor? You know, like...
They're like, we're not giving you funding unless you check off all these points in this season. Also, that guy who got stabbed like 55 times and got his like throat cut somehow managed to stumble across the entire school to give them this jump scare. And he does that and they're like, oh shit, put the school on lockdown. And then it immediately after they say that, cuts to like a bajillion SWAT units outside, like, we're here to do SWAT team stuff. I'm like, but you don't know, like, what's going on. Like, they don't just, they need a little information. The SWAT team needs, like, some info. You can't just be like, this guy looks real fucked up. He just looks real, real fucked up. And they're like, well, what happened to him?
Do you expect them all to just, like, run in and be like, clear, and, like, go around corners and shit? Like, what do you want?
Nothing got this also, guy.
So nowadays, they have shooter drills at schools, which suck, and they have them in my kid's school. And what happens during the lockdown is the doors lock. There's no, like, huge alarm and everything's going red like you're in, like, a Resident Evil laboratory, like, what happens in this school. But, you know, it's, yeah, they do that because then it's, like, lockdown and suddenly it's, like, a fortress. And, yeah, the SWAT team's here.
They don't, like, kill the power and make all of the children, like, hide in the dark in a weird little cage like what's happening in this school.
Yeah, there's no, like, robot drones flying around. No, I'm kidding. But, you know, like...
They don't, like, pile them all up in, like, a big treasure chest for a killer, so if they find him, they're like, bada-bing. There's all of them.
Oh, yo, we found them.
This saves me a ton of time. This is great.
I will not be checking the rest of the school. I will assume this is all of the children.
Right.
Oh, that's how they get you. They hide them in, like, groups of three. All right. So the SWAT team does show up, and everybody who is not a child is dead. And they eventually find the children in, like, a cage. Which...
That's the naughty child cage.
Who put them in the cage? Yeah, okay, great. So they pull the kids out, and all the kids are just, like, running around and in the sunshine and talking to their parents, and they don't have measles anymore and they're all fine. And so they start asking the kids what happened, and they all have a perfectly coordinated lie that was told to them by the head vampire child. And yeah, if there's anything a bunch of fourth graders are going to do, it's keep a story consistent when they're being interrogated by the police. For sure, man. Absolutely. Kids are great at that. They definitely don't just, like, even if they are trying to tell the truth, occasionally panic and just say shit.
Also, the implication here is because three of the children had the same story, they were like, well, we don't need to investigate this. We can probably go home. That guy that they said came into the school with a mask and stabbed everybody, he's probably gone. It's fine. We don't need to look into it. We're not going to check the cameras or, like, confirm that this is what happened. Three kids did tell the same story. And, frankly, we don't want to go look for that guy. So,
if there's no one thing they know not to, like, you know, check out is a school lockdown. You know what I mean? Like, you can just gloss right over why that happened and everything. Like, oh, we got our answer.
Especially
that's
one that culminated with, like, 15 adults dying. Yeah, they are historically like, it's probably fine. You guys can come back tomorrow. it'll be fine. Yeah, so the implication here is that the anti-vax kid named Max, by the way, because unfortunately he will be a character TM.
Yay!
Just, like, has, like, the power of charisma, question mark? He's got the Jedi mind tricks to make other kids listen to him. Like, it made a little bit of sense with, like, his, like, weird little girlfriend. Because when you're 10 and you have a girlfriend or a boyfriend, like, you don't question a whole lot. You're 10. Makes, like, kind of sense. But a whole school full of children? Whatever. Also, the implication, I don't know. I'm thinking way too much about it that the story didn't think about of, like.
So, I think it's supposed to be that, like, if someone is anti-vax and doesn't vaccinate their child, they are putting the other children at tremendous risk, which is, like, real. Because also there's some kids who can't get vaccinated due to, like, outstanding conditions and stuff like that. And they do rely on herd immunity where, you know, everyone can't get it, so it's not gonna be there. So a kid can't get it who can't be vaccinated. So I think that's what they were going for. But you're right. It reads really fucking sloppy and kind of reads like vaccines are fake. Who gives a shit? You'll get measles anyway, which like, isn't good.
Or like,
not a good message.
Another passive message they're kind of sending is like, who gives a shit about being vaccinated? Because like someone really cool might come along and convince you to get the disease anyway. Because sometimes some diseases kick ass. Like that's the weird implication is like, well, some diseases are cool, actually, and you should want to get them. This show is so cool. We have so much episode left of this episode, and none of it is going to have to do with what we've already talked about, which is insane.
So I think that's really the big thing here is this episode is actually quite cleanly split because from here on out, there's going to be a lot of, I say a lot of, John's in the episode and things happen to John, but it doesn't really change his positioning in the story at all. Like nothing happens other than they explain where John went missing for like 20 minutes.
Yeah, and he's going to look real sloppy.
We didn't get to meet the influencers.
Oh, we will.
No, we didn't get to meet the shitty influencers yet. Oh, you're going to have to listen next time where we introduce you to just, oh, God, they suck. They made the, you're going to love it. You're going to love it.
Yeah.
It'll be so good.
Yeah, till next time, folks. Take it easy.
Later.